You know, the funeral industry has had to make a real adjustment during this pandemic. It's not been easy for grieving families and funeral home staff, having to change their way of dealing with saying aloha to loved ones during an already stressful time. We reached out to Mitchell Dodo, the vice president of Dodo Mortuary, a Big Island family business which has been around for more than a century.
From the beginning of the year up until about the middle of March, I'd say, you know, it was a pretty regular year for us, business-wise at least, you know. We've been servicing the community for over 100 years here on the Big Island. So I'd like to think that we know what we're doing after that time. So the year started off, the first quarter, pretty much as usual. And then COVID came. And then, you know, the entire public took precautions from, you know, first of all, avoiding people who went to China. In the previous 2 weeks, any travel to China, we were told to avoid those people. Then it came to be more common where you have to wear a face mask, wash your hands, hand sanitizing, which was doable for us as a business. But what really disrupted the normal course of activity for us is when we were not allowed to gather in great numbers for public gatherings. And I'll give you some perspective on that, Catherine. Our chapel in Hilo, our mortuary chapel, can seat about 200 people. And we have additional space with a removable wall to seat an additional 100 people for a total of 300 people within the chapel. You know, that was quickly reduced. I think it was first maybe 125 maybe was the first reduction, down to maybe 100, then 75, then 50, until we're finally here at no more than 10 people for indoor gatherings in Hawaii County. And, you know, going from a pretty good-sized chapel with 200 people down to 10 people, it just doesn't make having a public service feasible anymore for the families that we serve. It's like basically choosing 10 best friends to participate in the funeral service.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah, so it made things really difficult for us. And what has happened is a lot of the families we're serving now, they've elected to simply hold off until things get better. You know, we hear that so often in our office. We'd like you to help us, the families tell us. Help us with the cremation. Maybe we'll do a short viewing before the cremation. Do the cremation, and then they say, we'll contact you when things get better. And, you know, right here today, I mean, there's a little bit of a glimmer of hope with the vaccine that things are going to get better, but it's certainly not going to resume overnight like how they were at the beginning of March of this year, where we could see 200, maybe 300 people within our chapel. And I think because of the gatherings, that is really what's restricting our customers from holding any type of service.
What have you seen just with the families?
Hesitation on their part. I mean, you know, one day this will all come to pass, and we will be able to resume services as normal, so to speak, on our end, on the business side of it. However, on the family side of it, there's always going to be people who are fearful of gathering in large numbers from this point going forward. And, you know, I think that's going to change the scope of our business. Maybe we're going to have more private services in the future. Maybe no services at all. I don't know. You know, we've helped some families do the cremation, and we've simply just gone to the cemetery to bury the urn or place the urn into a niche, and that's it. You know, they've decided already they don't want to do any service because of the COVID outbreak, and that's it right there.
So you have seen then the number of cremations up?
I would say the rate of cremation has increased in this year, 2020. As compared to having traditional services where we'd have what we call a body burial within a casket, we've definitely seen the rate of cremation increase.
And you have had to, I'm sure, adopt technology in a way you didn't have in place.
I think it was maybe, let's see, this all started about the middle of March. Maybe by, I think, about July or August of this year, we had made the investment. A video streaming service where we have three video cameras installed within our chapel, and now we have the capability to video cast the services in real time to basically anyone who has an internet connection anywhere in the world. And that's proved to be somewhat of a popular option. I mean, it's not for everyone, but it's the next best thing to having, you know, a chapel, 200 people, as we go back to that number again, and an unlimited amount of people can view if they want to. So it's a service we're always going to offer. It's a great convenience overall for a family member who may live, you know, off island, or maybe just someone who's a little hesitant to come out of their home, because our viewers can watch this on their smartphone, their tablet, a regular desktop computer. I mean, we've even had some families who've told us that they've had, they call it a watch party, where since we can't have more than 10 people in our chapel, they've gone to a friend, a relative's house or something. They've gathered there, and the whole family watches the service, you know, at home. They gather at home.
Interesting.
To watch.
Yeah, it's a different take on the wake.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah.
And how was it for your staff, you know, just because of, you know, the concern with this very infectious disease, and when we started to see the first cases, and I know you folks handled a number of burials over at the Yukio Kutsu home, the Life Center.
Yeah, Life Care Center, yeah. I'll be honest with you, our staff was very anxious. I mean, you know, when we first got word of the coronavirus making its way to the United States and Hawaii, we were basically inundated with information from some of our chemical suppliers, embalming chemical suppliers, and other vendors we work with about, you know, best practices on how to handle remains that someone has died from the coronavirus. And we were on heightened alert already. Like the general public, on our end, we have to increase cleaning on our end, sanitizing, more personal protective equipment from full, besides gloves, face coverings, full gowns, shoe coverings, and the sanitization process. I mean, you know, we did it before, but now we have to do it at a heightened awareness. And, you know, my staff was scared, to tell you the truth. Fear, basically, it was really fear of the unknown at first. We heard about the pandemic, the virus coming. And I think when it finally came to Hilo, to some of the care centers here, and we got the first call that someone had passed away due to COVID-19, I mean, geez, that was like our worst fear come true, you know, because we're having to go to pick up the decedent from the care home. The virus was, we know for a fact, the virus was still alive, very, very virulent still, and we will be coming face to face with it. Believe me, our staff was scared. But, I mean, to date, we've helped maybe about, I'd say maybe between 20 to 30 individuals here on the island, which their loved one has passed away from COVID. You know, I'll knock on wood on this, Catherine, that not one of my staff members has gotten sick.
Well, we certainly appreciate, you know, your staff being out there on the front lines.
Yeah. So I like to think whatever we're doing to safeguard ourselves and our customers, it's working. Hopefully, you know, no one has fallen ill. I've never experienced anything like this. I'm 50 years old this year. I've probably worked in this business from my early 20s until now. And before that, of course, we're a family-run business, so my father and my grandfather, so forth, ran the business. I cannot remember anything like this happening ever before to our entire world. You know, it's just really a moment of revelation to me that something like this actually happened. This will certainly go down in our history books and in the history of our company. When this all comes to pass, we're probably going to say something like, you remember the time the coronavirus came to Hilo and how we had to deal with it? Schools were closed and air travel was limited and so forth. Certainly, this will always stand out in our mind.
And like you mentioned, everybody looking forward to the day when things get better.
That seems to be the catchphrase of the year. You know, we're going to wait till things get better. And I'm hoping, we're all hoping things get better. But I think many of us, being realistic about the situation, realize that when things get better, we're going to have a new normal, you know, that we all have to come back to, including funeral services, the sanitization of the chapel, the seats, the railings, everything, basically, you know, it's going to have to be done on a regular basis. goes on and on, really, as to how things are going to change, and we never had to operate that way before, really. A lot of the families we helped, you know, their loved one was in a care facility that may have been stricken with the coronavirus. You know, you're looking back at this, and I always keep going back to the middle of March of this year, when the whole world started to change. A lot of these family members were not able to see their loved ones from that time, because the care homes, in effect, didn't allow any visitors into the care facility, unless an extreme, you know, circumstance was taking place, like end of life was near. I don't know if they'd necessarily allow a limited amount of family members into the care facility, but the stories we hear is that many, if not all of the family members, could not see their loved ones in person at the care facility. Maybe they could do like a FaceTime or video conferencing, or even visit them through the window on the outside of the care home. You know, these kinds of things. So when they finally passed away due to COVID-19, you know, it probably still wasn't safe for the families to do a viewing of the decedent before the cremation or the burial. And, you know, this opportunity for them to properly say their goodbyes was lost, really. I mean, it's not that they didn't want to see their loved ones after they passed away, but, you know, most, if not all, of the families we met with, they realized it was a health hazard.
Too risky.
Yeah, too risky is what it is, indeed. And they just simply had to make the decision, hey, you know, please help us. All we want to do is give mom or dad or whomever it was a proper and meaningful goodbye. But, you know, they had to, we could help them with the cremation or maybe even a direct burial without any type of viewing. But I think the viewing part is really therapeutic, you know, for the grieving process to begin.
Mm-hmm.
And that element essentially was taken away from many of the families. I know for a fact, Catherine, that many families were not, in their hearts, they weren't 100% satisfied with their decision. But due to the times we're living in and the standards we have to operate by now, I mean, we really couldn't do more than that.
That was Mitchell Dodo of the Big Island's Dodo Mortuary reflecting on what it's been like dealing with death and grieving in the time of COVID-19.